Chapter 9. Though dawn had come bright and golden several minutes earlier, a sense of darkness and danger still hung over Fellowship Plaza, and the closer Luke and Mara drew to the crime scene, the heavier and more sinister that sense became. A squad of dark-visored police bots blocked access to the walkway at both ends, while a team of spider-like forensics droids swarmed over the tall privacy hedges to either side. Two detectives, the first a huge-headed Biff in a rumpled tabard, the other a green-scaled Rhodian in a sharply creased Zing suit, stood inside the security cordon comparing notes.
"This doesn't look good," Mara said. "I'm afraid we're about to find out why we can't find Priscina in the Force."
"Me too," Luke answered. "I didn't like the way that security dispatcher sounded this morning." Mara glanced over and scowled.
"How did she sound?"
"Surprised," Luke said. "Maybe even disbelieving." The security force dispatcher's first words when Luke answered the comm half an hour before had been to assure him that his son was not involved in the incident. Refusing to answer any questions herself, the dispatcher had asked whether Luke knew where Master Lobi was, then instructed him to meet a pair of detectives in Fellowship Plaza. Of course, Mara had immediately calmed Ben. To their relief, he was quite safe and on his way to an important rendezvous with Jason. They reached the security cordon and were stopped by a police bot, who did a quick retinal scan on Luke and stepped aside.
"Detectives Ratu and Tozer are expecting you."
The police spot pointed first at the Rhodian, then the Biff.
"Please remember that the law requires you to answer all questions truthfully or not at all. Refusal to answer may be considered grounds for an interrogation warrant."
"Since when?"
Mara demanded. A scanning beam shot from the police spot's visor into Mara's eye. Then it asked,
"Mara Jade Skywalker?"
"Just answer the question, Chiphead," she said.
"Take that as an affirmative," Luke said quickly. "When did silence become a suspicious act?" The police bot kept its visor trained on Mara.
"The suspicious silence provision was added to the Galactic Loyalty Act at 0320 this morning."
"In the middle of the night?" Mara asked. "How'd they ever get a quorum?"
"Under the law enforcement tools provision of the Galactic Loyalty Act, quorums are no longer required to approve anti-terrorism legislation."
"And when did that pass?"
Mara asked sarcastically.
"Yesterday at 1827,
the police bot answered.
"By 5 votes, under reduced quorum requirements due to the boycott of the Bothan delegation."
"Thanks for the information," Luke said. He took Mara's arm and started toward the detectives. "It's always good to know the law."
"Especially when they keep changing it,"
Mara added under her breath.
"The latest legal updates are available from any law enforcement droid,"
the police bot said behind them.
"All inquiries will be noted in your file."
"Wonderful,"
Mara grumbled. Luke found her attitude a little surprising. Mara usually supported a stern response to terrorism, but as a former emperor's hand, she also knew how easy it was to abuse the kind of information the government was now gathering under provisions of the Galactic Loyalty Act. Every year, she gave a special seminar at the Academy, teaching young Jedi how to use the galaxy's vast databanks to track their quarry. As the Skywalkers drew near, the two detectives stopped talking. The Biff extended a delicate-fingered hand in greeting to Luke, then to Mara.
"Master Skywalker and Master Skywalker, thanks for coming. I'm Chal Tozer."
He waved at his green-scaled companion.
"This is my partner, Guad Ratu."
Instead of offering a hand, Ratu twitched his scaly snout in suspicion.
"Do you know a Trasina, Lobi?"
"Of course they know her," Tozer said. "She's a Jedi Master."
"That's correct," Luke said. He could sense Ratu's excitement through the Force. The Rhodian's hunting instinct had been triggered, and he was eager to find his prey. She sits on the Jedi Council, as a matter of fact.
Not anymore.
Continuing to study their faces rather obviously, Ratu waved a hand toward the hedge on the near side of the walkway.
A gardener droid found her.
Quad, show some respect.
The edges of Tozer's cheek folds turned blue with embarrassment.
Sorry about that. My partner thinks everyone is a suspect.
Everyone is a suspect.
Ratu's dark eyes remained fixed on Luke and Mara.
Where were you early last night?
Tozer let out his breath in whistled exasperation.
Quad!
He turned his huge head toward the Skywalkers.
You don't have to answer.
No, it's fine. A knot of anger was forming in Luke's stomach. But it was not Ratu he was upset with. The Jedi Comm Center's night tech had left a message detailing Master Lobi's interrupted transmission, so he knew what had happened to Lobi, and who was responsible. I had an important meeting with Chief Omis that lasted until after midnight. Mara was with me.
If you'd like to confirm that, you can calm his office.
Mara's voice was particularly sharp and sarcastic, a sign of the sorrow and anger that Luke could feel in her through the Force.
Ask for the Chief of State.
Ratu rotated his dish-shaped sensory antennae toward her.
Would I be able to speak with Chief Omis personally?
No,
Tozer said. He turned to Luke.
Look, someone assassinated the Bothan ambassador last night, and the Chief of Detectives wants as many of us on it as he can get. So if you want to handle this matter yourself, just say...
We're the law on Coruscant, Ratu objected. Not the Jedi.
The Bith whirled on his partner.
Someone killed a Jedi Master, you laser brain!
He was so irritated that his voice warbled.
Even if we solve the case, are we going to make the arrest?
Ratu's snout widened in excitement.
You're afraid of a challenge?
Maybe we should all work together for now, Luke suggested. He waved at the forensics droids swarming over the near hedge. You've already started collecting evidence, and the Jedi can bring some unique resources to bear. Ratu cast a resentful glance in Tozer's direction, then let out a disgusted snort.
We call the shots, he said. Technically, you're just observers.
I guess that's better than suspects,
Mara retorted. She turned to Tozer.
Why don't you show us the scene?
You're standing on it.
Tozer nodded at the walkway, then waved at the blartry hedges lining either side.
It looks like they were waiting in ambush.
They? Luke asked.
You think that's wrong, Skywalker?
Ratu kept his bulging eyes fixed on Luke.
Something maybe you need to share?
No. Go on, Luke said. The interruption had been a mistake, and not only because it had aroused Ratu's suspicions. He could feel Mara studying him, too, wondering what he knew that she didn't. I was leaping to conclusions. No one has anything to gain by that.
Right,
Tozer said. He pointed down the walkway to a blartry on the far side, where a forensics droid appeared to be making resin casts of a set of footprints.
One ambusher was waiting there, and another over here.
He pointed to a bush on their side of the walkway, a little closer, where another droid was casting footprints.
What species? Mara asked.
Human, or near-human, Ratu answered. The shoes made it hard to tell, but both ambushers were probably female and fairly light. The prints were small and shallow.
And one had a deformed foot. She didn't put any weight on the front part of her shoe,
Tozer added. Motioning the Skywalkers to follow, he stepped through the hedge.
We think your Jedi realized something was wrong and tried to come up on them from behind.
Too bad they saw her coming,
Ratu said from the back of the group.
But it doesn't look like she suffered long.
They emerged from the hedge into a bed of knee-high chrysanthus shrubs. A pair of medical droids were waiting on the far side with a stretcher and a hover sled, while yet more forensics droids were swarming over the area, making casts of footprints and holorecording every detail of the crime scene. In the center of the bed, still dressed in Jedi robes, lay the torso of a large Chief woman. Both lower legs and her head lay a couple of meters away. The lifeless eyes in the head were still open wide in surprise. There was no sign of her lightsaber or other equipment. Luke's stomach grew hollow. "This is a message." He started to move closer to the body, but a forensics droid quickly cut him off. "She's toying with me."
"Toying with you?" Ratu repeated. "Who would that be?"
"In a minute." Mara touched Luke through the Force, making sure that he felt her suspicion and growing irritation. "How is this a message, Luke? From Lumia?"
"I'm afraid so," Luke said. "I think she's telling us she can take Ben any time she wants."
"What does this have to do with Ben?" Mara demanded. "You'd better not be telling me you were using our son as bait."
"Not bait, exactly," Luke said. He had not told Mara about asking Trissina Lobi to follow Ben, in large part because of their disagreement over whether Jason was good for him. "But I did ask Trissina to keep an eye on him, because I thought Lumia might try to use him against me. It looks like I was right."
"And that's why you told me to bring my Shoto?" Mara asked, referring to the half-length lightsaber she had built as a defense against Lumia's light whip. "Because you knew Lumia had something to do with Trissina's death?"
Luke shrugged. "It looks like I was right."
"Being right is no excuse," Mara said. "You should have told me."
Luke sighed. "I said it would be a good idea to keep an eye on him. You accused me of looking for an excuse to spy on Jason." He paused to collect himself and sensed the keenness of Ratu's interest in their conversation. He gave Mara a Force nudge, reminding her of their audience, then said, "Besides, that's not what you're really angry about." Mara flashed him a look that said this conversation wasn't over, but took the hint.
"No, I suppose it's not."
"I take it this Lumia is our prime suspect?" Tozer asked. "Who is she?"
"One of Luke's old girlfriends," Mara said sharply. Ratu's antennae snapped upright.
"Ah, that explains it."
He lifted his hand and dictated a note into the data mic clipped to his cuff, then gestured at Lobi's body.
"And Master Lobi is the new girlfriend?"
Instead of answering, Mara merely lifted her brow and looked to Luke.
"Not at all," Luke answered. "Mara is. Mara is my wife. I don't have a girlfriend."
Ratu shrugged.
"What do I know about you Jedi?" he asked. "With most humans, it's usually sex or love."
Tozer nodded sagely.
87% of the time," he said. "Spice is a distant second."
"Not this time," Luke insisted. "This time, it's revenge."
"Revenge for what?" Tozer asked. "And how is your son involved?"
"Lumia was a Sith apprentice," Luke explained. "She wants revenge because I shot her down and helped overthrow the Emperor. Ben is just a means to an end."
"Sure, Master Skywalker," Ratu said. "Whatever you say. But for now, we'll keep all motives on the table."
"Any idea who the accomplice might be?"
Tozer asked. Mara's voice suddenly rose behind Luke, sharp and angry. He turned to see that she had stepped away from the group and was not quite shouting into her comlink. "I'm a lot more than Ben's mother, Corporal LeCouf," she was saying. "I'm Master Mara Jade Skywalker of the Jedi Order."
The corporal's reply was not quite audible to Luke.
"If you know who I am, then you also know that you'd better tell me why my son's comlink is being jammed, or spend the next 6 weeks in a bacta tank trying to regrow all the parts I'm going to cut off."
Mara looked across the plaza toward the giant silver cylinder of the Galactic Justice Center.
"I can be there in 3 minutes."
There was a short pause.
"Of course this comlink is scrambled," Mara said.
The corporal spoke again.
"He's what?"
The corporal repeated whatever he had told her. Then Mara's anger began to fade from the force.
"I see. Well, have him get in touch with me the moment he returns."
Mara paused, then added,
"The moment, Corporal LeCouf. Do I make myself clear?"
Mara closed her comlink, then seemed surprised to find Luke and the others watching her. She frowned.
"I just want to be sure that Lumia isn't delivering the rest of her message."
"And you're sure she isn't?" Luke asked.
"Corporal LeCouf was very convincing," she said. "Apparently Jason took Ben up to Crickspace."
"Crickspace?"
Ratu echoed.
"What for?"
Mara shot the Rodian a don't-be-stupid look.
"He wouldn't say."
More properly known as the General Crixmaydeen Military Reserve, Crickspace had been constructed during the first wave of fleet reorganizations undertaken in the wave of the war with the Yuuzhan Vong. It was a huge complex of orbital hangars currently serving as home port to the 3rd, 8th, and the mysterious 9th fleets. It also housed the headquarters of two elite fighting units, the Space Rangers and Gamma Corps, and, as Chief Omis had revealed during their meeting last night, a brand-new Imperial-class Star Destroyer secretly assigned to GAG, the Anakin Solo.
"Maybe that's a good thing," Luke said, guessing that Jason had taken Ben to the base to go on the Anakin's shakedown cruise. "At least we know Lumia won't get him there."
"Do we?" Mara asked. "Base security wouldn't stop me."
"No, but it would take time for you to defeat it," Luke pointed out.
He didn't mention the possibility of a shakedown cruise because Ratu and Tozer lacked the necessary security clearance to even hear of a vessel named the Anakin Solo. "And it would entail risks you wouldn't need to run elsewhere." Mara thought about this a moment, then nodded.
"Okay. Your point?"
"That now is our chance," Luke said. "Until Ben gets back, it's just her and us."
"And us," Ratu reminded Luke. "This Lumia woman is our suspect."
"Do you think you can identify your old girlfriend?"
Tozer produced a large datapad from a pocket of his wrinkled tabard and began to enter codes.
"There was a lot of fog last night, but the security cams have pretty good imaging filters. We're in a blind spot here, but we might be able to catch her on the way in."
"I'd recognize her if I saw her."
Luke went to the Bith's side and saw that he was calling up last night's video feed from the anti-terrorist cams that had been installed to protect Fellowship Plaza.
"But she won't be visible."
"She won't?"
"No, she's too skilled for that."
Mara joined them and held her hand out for the datapad.
"May I?"
Tozer ruffled his cheek flaps, then reluctantly passed over the datapad. Mara began to punch keys, bringing up the feed from the entrance closest to the Jedi Temple. It didn't take long to spot Ben entering the park and Master Lobi trailing him, following a discreet distance behind and taking care to remain in the shadows. But they spotted no hint of Lumia, or of the second killer, even when Mara brought up the feeds from the next two cams. Luke checked the timestamp at the bottom of the screen, then said,
"It's too early. Tresina's message didn't come in until 1922.
"What message?"
Ratu asked. "She clicked in with a partial message saying she had spotted Lumia," Luke replied.
"What else?"
Ratu demanded.
"That's it," Luke said. "Just that I was right, Lumia was watching Ben. Then she cut it short.
"But it doesn't look like this Lumia was following your son when he left the temple,"
Tozer said. He reached over to tap the screen of the datapad.
"So she was waiting for him inside the plaza."
"It would seem so."
The edge in Mara's voice was as cold as the knot in Luke's stomach.
"I don't like it. She knew where he was going to be."
"We said this was an ambush," Ratu reminded them. "Both killers were waiting for Master Lobi in the hedges."
"That's the way it looks, all right," Luke said. He turned back to Mara. Lumia had to enter the plaza somewhere. Mara began to bring up feeds from the other entrances and run through them at high speed. Finally, a line of static flashed across the screen, and she froze the picture and checked the time code.
1914, she reported.
8 minutes before Trissina's message, Luke said. That fits.
But that's just a power glitch,
Tozer said, still looking at the datapad. It's a force flash, Luke corrected, and it can be used to prevent a security cam from recording your image as you pass through its field of view. Mara checked the cam code at the bottom of the screen, then asked Tozer,
"Is that the Galactic City entrance?"
Tozer nodded.
"That's right."
"Then we're in luck," Ratu said.
Without asking, the Rodian took the datapad from Mara and called up a schematic of the camnet.
"Galactic City is Dignitary Central. There are security cams all over."
He scrolled through the feeds from each of the adjacent cams until he came to a line of static similar to the last one.
1906.
Ratu led the way back through the hedge, then started up the walkway toward the Galactic City entrance.
"Looks like we're on the scent,"